Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Focus Weekly Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. I just want to thank you for watching or listening today, and to remind you to hit subscribe to make sure you don't miss anything, and also leave us a review and let us know how we're doing. I also leave my email address in the episode notes, so please check that out if you have any questions, comments, concerns, stories you want to share, topics you want to cover, any of those kinds of things. I am all ears and excited to get your input about things that we should do in the podcast. So today we are in a season of Advent. Advent is the time of waiting for the arrival and the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's coming up quickly already. Just a couple weeks from today, we'll be having our Christmas Eve services here at Faith Covenant Church. And the Christmas story is often a story that feels very familiar to many of us, especially if we've grown up in the church, hearing these stories every year on a regular basis. But there's some parts of the story that we don't always talk a lot about. Some of the parts of the Christmas story are maybe a little bit more challenging and a little bit more somber or even disturbing. And we don't always talk about those pieces. So today we're going to look at one of those pieces because it's important to look at all of Scripture, even the parts that aren't necessarily as happy-go-lucky and as exciting or interesting maybe, or maybe parts that are a little more disturbing and hard to read. So we find one of these pieces in Matthew 2, which is happening shortly after the birth of Christ. And Matthew 2 is also interspersed with a part of the story we do like to talk a lot about, the three wise men. So I'm going to read through parts of Matthew 2, and we'll kind of do some discussion along the way. So starting in Matthew 2, starting with verses 1 through 3. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So let's pause there. This is already so interesting because Herod is disturbed by a threat to his power. Here he is receiving foreign dignitaries who are there to worship a supposed king of the Jews. Now, it's important to remind ourselves here at this point that the Jewish people have been, for several centuries now, spread throughout the known world. Their country of the countries of Israel and Judah were taken over centuries prior by first the Assyrians and then the Babylonians, and the people were kind of deported out of their own land and then spread throughout the lands of the Assyrian and then Babylonian empires. So the Jewish people have been spread out everywhere. Many have returned to the land of Israel, but they're not alone. So King Herod here is ruling over a space that is inhabited by some Jewish people, but also other peoples from surrounding groups that the Assyrian and Babylonians moved in. And now King Herod is part of the larger Roman Empire who is overseeing the land. So now that King Herod is hearing that there is a supposed king of the Jews, he is perceiving that as a threat to his power. The Jewish people would have constituted a significant part of the land that he was ruling over. And if they're uniting under a different king, that's a big threat to Herod's power. If that were true somehow, that might show the Roman authorities that King Herod is ultimately responsible to that he can't do his job. So he's facing pressure potentially if this pans out that someone is a king of the Jews. He is then facing pressure from the people he is ruling over in the Jewish people that he's ruling over, but also potentially facing pressures from people over him to kind of keep the peace and keep them in line. So Herod is very disturbed, even though this supposed king of the Jews is only a baby at this point. Now, scholars think that generally these wise men were arriving a couple years after the birth of Christ, but still, Jesus is only a toddler at most. But Herod is deeply disturbed by this power threat that he perceives. Now, later we see that King Jesus handled political power in a very different way than what was expected of him and what really of what we expect today. But Herod didn't know that that was going to be how Jesus was interacting with people, and so he perceived this as a major threat. So that's part of what Herod is experiencing, and we see that Herod's sense of being disturbed spreads to all of Jerusalem. Verse 3 says, all of Jerusalem was with him. So Herod is discontent, and when Herod is not happy, he's kind of crazy. When Herod is not happy, everybody else is also on edge. So Herod's kind of spreading his discontent amongst the other peoples as well. So then we'll pick up and read verses 4 through 6, which says this. So he, being King Herod, he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this was what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So the arrival of the wise men triggers King Herod to consult with the Jewish scribes and priests and say, hey, there's this prophecy. What's going on with this prophecy? Is there really a king of the Israelites that's going to emerge? And they don't necessarily know what he will do with this information, but they say, yep, there is this prophecy that someone will be born in Bethlehem and will be a ruler over the people of Israel. And so Herod kind of plays along and just kind of sends the wise men on their way. And he says, hey, when you find the baby Jesus, or find this baby, who he doesn't know the name is Jesus, but when you find this baby and worship this baby, come back and tell me where the baby is so that I can go worship the baby. So he's obviously not really wanting to go worship Jesus. He's more concerned about finding Jesus to get rid of that threat to his power. So Herod just kind of plays along, lets the wise men go do their thing, tells them to do it. And so the wise men go ahead and they find the baby Jesus. They give him these marvelous gifts to Joseph and Mary, and they worship Jesus and they're excited to do that. However, the wise men, perhaps because they're wise, they get warned in a dream by God not to report to Herod. So the wise men leave through a different way than they kind of came in and kind of sneak out of the area and get away from Herod so that they don't reveal the location of the baby Jesus to King Herod because they know that he's crazy. And so along the same lines, Joseph, Mary's husband, is also warned in a dream that Herod is planning to kill Jesus. And in this dream, he is told to flee to Egypt. Get out of here. Go somewhere safe. Go all the way to Egypt, which that has all kinds of symbolism on its own. That's a story for another day. But basically, everybody gets warned not to tell Herod anything, and they get out of town by whatever way they can. So they do that. Then we'll pick up at Matthew 2, verses 16 through 18, towards the end of the chapter. And kind of Herod kind of figures out what's going on. He realizes everybody's gotten out of town without him knowing, or at least he realizes the wise men got out, and so he gets upset. So we'll pick up at verse 16. Then Herod, when he realized that he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into a rage. He gave them orders to massacre all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard, and this is a verse from Jeremiah, but that's repeated in Matthew 18 as a prophecy that is now fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled, because they are no more. So it's a very disturbing piece of the story, because Herod is so afraid of a threat to his power that he massacres a bunch, specifically the males, but he has a bunch of toddlers killed. And I can't even begin to imagine how horrible that is, that people were given orders to go kill toddlers and they did it. That's kind of an unfathomable part of this story. But it is a part of this story. Another way to think of this is in a broader sense of the spiritual warfare that is happening. Ultimately, well, maybe not ultimately, but one of the major pieces of the Bible is that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle between God and the forces of evil. And sometimes those forces of evil are known as Satan or demons, the devil. But there are very real biblical forces that are opposing God in everything. This is a part of that battle. The arrival of God in human form on this earth posed such a threat to the powers of hell, to the devil, to Satan, however you want to phrase that, that they were moved to murder innocent children. That's the level of desperation involved in spiritual warfare. The arrival of God in human form posed a tremendous threat to the powers of hell. And likewise, Herod felt a threat. Herod was so threatened and was so overwhelmed by what he felt was a threat to his power that he had toddlers killed. So we see from the very beginning of Jesus' life and ministry that he is already facing opposition. Before he's maybe even really able to walk that well or talk that well, he's maybe barely starting to put some words together, he's already having his life threatened. That's how much, how fierce a battle we are in the midst of with spiritual warfare. And we see this already happening at the very beginning of the Christmas story. The opposition that Jesus faced during his ministry from the Pharisees and the Roman authorities, that wasn't the beginning of opposition to Jesus. It started as early as his birth. In his first couple years of life, people were already out to kill him. So Jesus was facing tremendous warfare, tremendous spiritual warfare, tremendous opposition. And we don't talk about that a lot. It started at the very beginning. So it's a very somber part of the story. It's a disturbing part of the story. We should be disturbed by what we read here in this part of Matthew. The Christmas story is a very multifaceted story. It has some hard parts. It also has some very joyful parts. In the midst of Matthew 2, we didn't read this today, but in the midst of Matthew 2, we also have portions of the Magi, the wise men, delivering wonderful gifts to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and saying, "We are here to worship. We are here to recognize that you are the King. We are here to give you something." And at the same time, others are trying to take. That's part of the Christmas story. It's not an easy part. Our faith is not easy. And the Christmas story helps us realize that. So we need to pay attention and learn from both parts, both the easy parts and the hard parts of the Christmas story. So sometimes people, I mean, talking about this part of the Christmas story so much might seem like I'm trying to be a downer, that I'm trying to take away from the joy of Christmas. And I promise you I'm not. Christmas is a wonderful time of year, and it's so important to celebrate the amazing things that God did in becoming a human person on this earth. It is an incredible thing, absolutely. Should we celebrate it? Absolutely. Should we be joyful and spend time together? Yes. Have traditional foods and Christmas carols? Yes. All those things. Absolutely. but we have an obligation to know all of Scripture and delve into all of it, the hard parts too. So it's my hope that we can do that, that we can look at Matthew 2 and say, yikes, this is really terrifying. There is a really terrifying part of this story with Herod having innocent children killed. And that can help us recognize what Jesus came here to do. He came here to help us fight the forces of evil. It's a somber message. And it's an important one, I think. So I just hope you keep that in mind as we go about Christmas. I hope that other times you're able to celebrate and enjoy the other parts of the Christmas story. And I also just want to say that we are taking a little bit of a break with the podcast just take some time off for the Christmas season. We will return in the new year sometime in January with new episodes at that point. So in the meantime, I hope you spend a lot of time with family. I hope you have all the delightful traditional foods that you and your families use to celebrate, and just have a really, really wonderful Christmas season. So thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful and blessed day.